opening ball of light. Very pretty until it enchants you and leads you to your death. No, it's still pretty, even then. Lucacole. A creature with an enormous snail shell, numerous tentacles, and a mouth lined with jagged, sharp teeth. Usually inhabits dark caves, but will settle for an armoire in a pinch. Lutin. A small hobgoblin that can be helpful or mischievous. It particularly enjoys tangling people's hair into knots while they're asleep. But then, who doesn't? Matago. A shape-shifting animal spirit that most often takes the form of a black cat. It can bring either prosperity or misfortune, depending on how well it's treated or how spiteful it's feeling that day. Salamander. A lizard-like amphibian that is as sassy as it is slimy. Most don't do anything special. Some can breathe fire. Tarrasque. Part dragon, part snake, and part crocodile, with the head of a lion and a tortoise shell on its back. There actually aren't any tarrasques in this book, in part because the author did not think she could adequately describe it in a way that readers wouldn't think she was just making stuff up. Still, it's pretty great, as folklore monsters go. Valu. Another peculiar amalgamation of a creature sporting the head of a serpent on top of a porcupine-esque body which is covered in long green fur and poison-tipped spines. It is often blamed for floods, fires, failed crops, and just about every natural disaster conceivable. Voilu. A hairy, slobbery, werewolf-like creature that is afraid of fire and allergic to silver. Created when a human sells their soul to a demon in exchange for 7 wicked pleasures. Which might sound tempting if you forget the hairy, slobbery part. Think of your dignity. Chapter 1. If a young lady did not wish to be murdered, it was advisable that she not spend her evenings meeting with strangers on dark street corners. Mallory knew this. She was an expert on not getting murdered, a skill she tended to value higher than, say, embroidering pincushions or playing scales on a harpsichord or the proper way of holding a salad fork. Mallory knew how to hold a salad fork, thank you very much, and it was in a tight fist while you sent those sharp little tines straight into the thigh of a would-be attacker. Or the eyeball. Or the gullet. The human body had plenty of vulnerable places to choose from, and she didn't like to limit herself. Mallory waited, adjusting her grip on her artist portfolio. She heard the distant whinny of a horse, the grind of carriage wheels a block over, a colony of bats squeaking overhead. Though the shadows reached for her, she remained haloed in the light of the street's single oil lamp, so she would be easy for her clients to spot. "Easy to murder," a voice whispered, and in response she idly scratched her leg with the toe of her boot, feeling the handle of the dagger she kept hidden there. It might have been more respectable to keep it hidden beneath her skirts, but if she was under attack, she hardly wanted to waste time digging through layers of muslin and wool. What was she going to do? Ask her attacker to kindly pause while she searched for the weapon in her garter? Boot heels clipped on the cobblestones as 2 gentlemen meandered past. She stood straighter, expecting her clients. One man was dressed entirely in black, while the other wore every color under the sun. She eyed them warily, but they merely tipped non-existent hats to her as they vanished into the night. The clock tower in the city square chimed the 11th hour. Her foot tapped impatiently. Finally, from the moon-spotted shadows, 2 new figures emerged on the other side of the street. Mallory studied them as they entered the lamplight. The man was light-skinned, broad and portly, wearing a stylish capotin hat and ruffled cravat. Either high society or pretending